series. Like the last one, I can't tell you when it'll be done. I know these pastors, I had a pastor when I was real young sat down and said, you've got to program out. He said, I sit down and I pray, and then I program out my every sermon for a year. And I announce my sermons a year in advance. And I say, praise God to him if it works. God doesn't work with me that way. God never shows me much more than half of the place where my foot's going to land next. How about you? But here's where we're going to begin. And what we're going to be doing over the next, however long it is, the next weeks, we are going to be looking at the grace of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God. And then we're going to take some time and we're going to look at our response to that. The message is basically coming out of the book of Ephesians and the duality of that book, the first half being all about God's wonderful plan, and the second half mostly being about our response to it. And here's the danger. Most of us have heard the message of grace till we take it for granted. But even the Christians at Ephesus, who had only known about the grace of God for a couple of years. It wasn't grandma told me. It wasn't I was dragged to church when I was a kid. It wasn't, yeah, my family's always. It wasn't, oh, I grew up in a Christian nation. They had barely begun to hear about the grace of God, and yet they were already in danger of taking it for granted. And God, through the Apostle Paul, has to call up short, and we read twice, and we won't get to nearly all of this, but twice in these three chapters about the grace of God, Paul has to stop what he's teaching and say, wait a minute, folks, you're not going to get this. And we read about that the first time in Ephesians 1:15. He's begun to talk about it. And I can just see Paul, as he dictated his letters, Paul had poor eyesight, he wasn't able to see well. He dictated his letters. I can see Paul dictating his letters out and the scribe writing away, oh, this is good stuff. Oh, yeah, this is great. And all of a sudden, Paul stopping and going, wait a minute. Oh, no, don't write that. Wait a minute. This is so unbelievable that they're not going to get it. It's not about how well it's described. It's not about any of that. They're just not going to get it. And so in verse 15, he stops and he says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He says, I've been praying for you for a long time now. And what could he possibly be praying for them? Well, if you go to some churches in America, it would be, I'm praying for your healing and that you would have a Mercedes and I hope that you've gotten a new mansion. No, that's not what he prays for them. He says, I've been praying for you. And here's what he says, I keep asking. Notice this was not simply a one-time, a one-shot. Oh, I prayed it. No, he says, I keep asking. I know how precious this is. I know how rare it is. I know how most of you are going to miss it. I know how you're not going to get it. I know how it isn't It's going to go right over your heads. It's going to miss you. And so I just keep asking and asking and asking. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom. He says, you may think you're smart, but if God doesn't give you wisdom, you're not going to get this. You may have a PhD in Bible, but if God doesn't give you wisdom, you're not going to get this. He says, you may study night and day and memorize 300 verses, and you may be able to quote the book of 1 Corinthians from memory, and you may be able to have perfect attendance pins from Sunday school that reach from right here till they drag on the floor. But if God doesn't give you a spirit of wisdom, you're not going to get this. And then he says, and revelation. Wisdom isn't enough. Even God's wisdom isn't enough. God needs to supernaturally reveal this to your soul. If he doesn't, there's no hope. There was once a reprobate ship captain, one of the most vile men, a slaver, one of the most vile men. He had no formal education. He'd gone to sea as a young boy, almost a slave himself, as seamen were in those days, and he had worked his way through cruelty, through drive, and through ambition, up through the ranks till he captained a ship of his own, harvesting human lives, chaining them in spaces too small for them even to move, so small that a third of them would die on the journey, and counting that acceptable losses. And one day the grace of God was revealed to that man. Now, there were scholars in England who had gone to seminaries and sat in colleges and taught in rooms filled with young people, regurgitating from one brain to another brain words about the Bible that John Newton never knew. But it was not them, but him that wrote, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. If God does not reveal this to you, you won't get it. No amount of study will do it. Not being raised in a Christian home will do it. Not being having gone to a Christian school will do it. Not memorizing the Bible will do it. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off all restraint. If God doesn't speak to your soul, if God doesn't reveal Himself in you, the Apostle Paul says, here I was marching down the road, on my mission to stamp out that Jesus and all his followers. And God pleased himself to reveal himself in me. He wasn't on his knees praying, saying, oh God, show me that Jesus is real. He was marching down the road and Jesus appeared and knocked him down and said, there you are. God needs to reveal this to your heart or it'll be nothing more than words. You'll go away saying, oh, that was boring, or wow, those were pretty words, but none of it will have any impact unless God Himself gives you revelation. And then he goes on, and third of all, he says, "And that you, so that you may know him better." In order that you may, and I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Not the eyes in your head may see black ink on a page, but the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That's why we began the service this morning by singing that song. I'm just going to put a little plug in here. I know people say things sometimes like, you know, oh, I come after the preliminaries. When you meet with a king, there are no preliminaries. Everything's important. You don't show up late to a throne room and just barge in and run in while everybody else has approached reverently into that throne room. That's why we began this morning by singing that song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Because he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. If God doesn't open your eyes, you'll be blind your whole life. You know, I can see a blind man walking down the sidewalk and see him stepping towards the curb and see a bus coming and run and grab him, and the bus goes whizzing by and I shake him and go, "You idiot, didn't you see that bus?" And his answer will be, "I'm blind." And I take it and I put his nose a quarter of an inch from the bus. And I say, "See, can't you see it?" And he'll say, "No, I'm blind." I can pry his eyes open and hold them open with toothpicks and say, "Look!" And he'll say, "It does no good because blind." Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And there are four things. There are four things that we need to have the eyes of our heart enlightened about, that we need to notice. He prayed for three things. Notice, there are three things he prayed for: a spirit of wisdom. Did you mark that one? For revelation. And for the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened. He prayed three things. Why? So that we could know four things. And he lists four things that we need to know. He says, why? First of all, the end of 17, picking up back there, he says, I pray these things so that you may know him better. Oh, I know God. Not good enough. Oh, I went to Sunday school. Not good enough. Oh, I know all those stories. You know those songs, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know"? He says, if you don't have a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, and the eyes of your heart enlightened, you'll never really know him. I was reading 1 John one time, and I came to this, and it really bugged me. And it bugged me for about 15 years, till I finally read somebody that really gave insight from the Lord and showed me where my thinking was wrong. Over in 1 John chapter 2. Over in 1 John chapter 2. Over in 1 John chapter 2. John writes to three groups of people. First John chapter 2, verse 12, he says, I write to you, dear children, new believers, people who are young in the Lord. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of the name. He says, all you understand is that your sins have been forgiven. And that you have a new life. Oh, That's why I write to you, because you've got that first step. And then he says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I thought, oh, that's cool. You really know God. That's neat. And then he says, I write to you, young man, the people in the middle, not totally spiritually mature, but on their way from babyhood to spiritual maturity. And he says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Notice three steps. Knowing your sins are forgiven, overcoming the evil one, knowing God. Three steps of spiritual growth. Everybody see that? And then he goes back and he says again, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. Oh, okay. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who was from the beginning. I said, wait a minute. Those fathers are getting cheated. The little kids knew the Father. So what if the fathers knew Him who's from the beginning? They haven't grown much, have they? Boy, what a ripoff. You see that? And that bugged me for a long time. I hope you come to the place in your life where the Scripture bugs you. Not for a day or an hour till you call somebody up and go, ooh, but I mean you simmer on something that bugs you for a long time. A decade isn't anywhere near too long to be bugged by something in the Scripture. That every time you see it, you go, you know, I've seen that before, and boy, We live in an instant society where everybody wants instant answers to instant everything. But you know, there's some things that never mean much to you until they've bugged you for a decade or more. And that bugged me. Until one day, I was reading someone, and I forget who now, and they made a statement, and I went back to these verses and looked at it, and I thought, wow, now that makes sense. He said, you know, little children just know Daddy. All they know about God is His relationship to them. They view God from a very selfish perspective. Just, what's God to me? He's Daddy. He's protector. He's provider. He's this. He's that. He's done this for me. He's done that for me. He's done the other thing for me. Oh, I love God so much. He takes such wonderful care of me. He does. But basically, it's only I know God in His relationship with me. You know, it was an interesting day when I grew up and I learned that my father had a life that had nothing to do with me at more than an intellectual level. That he was around before I was, and that after I moved away and was gone, he would still have a life to go on with. That was like a revelation. And little children, spiritually, they haven't grown beyond God as Daddy. But you see, it takes to true maturity to see God as who He really is, to know Him who is from the beginning, Him who was around before I existed, who was there long before He was Daddy. God the way He really is, not just what He is to me. And Paul prays for those Ephesians because he says, number one, without a spirit of wisdom, without revelation, and without your eyes being enlightened, you'll never know Him. In other words, you'll never become spiritually mature. You'll never become a father or a mother. You'll never grow up to adulthood because you'll never really know Him. Oh, you may know Daddy, but you won't know Him. And then second of all, Paul goes on and prays. And he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, Ephesians 1:18, in order that you may know the hope in which He has called you. If God doesn't enlighten you, you will not comprehend salvation in the least. No one who has not seen with eyes like John Newton saw will ever be able to truly say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." If God doesn't show you the depths of your soul, the depths of the sin within you. I remember when I first got saved and God cleaned up the most obnoxious of my sins and the most visible of the sins, the sins I didn't like about me. You have a picture in your mind of the sins you don't like about you? And God cleaned those up really quick. And I thought, wow, this is cool. Look how far I've come. You know what I didn't see? I didn't see that God hadn't even started yet on the sins I liked about me. Oh, man. When God took out the scrub brush and opened up those doors and said, "Hey, Tom, I'm going in there now." And I go, "Oh, there's nothing in there." And he opened up the door, and there was filth in there that I didn't even want to think about. Until God reveals to you the depth of who you are and the height of how much He loves you, in spite of that, oh, we will never comprehend until God shows us those things, the hope to which we were called. It is more glorious than you can imagine. It is more wonderful than you can comprehend. It is more painful than you can believe. Did you hear that last one? That's why the Bible says we must go through many hardships to inherit the kingdom of God. You know what? Your hardships and my hardships may be totally different. But I don't care what your hardships is or what mine are, we all are going to go through them. And everybody that thinks that somebody else has it easy doesn't understand. Then third of all, we need the spirit of wisdom, we need revelation, and we need the eyes of our heart enlightened to, number one, know Him. Number two, understand the hope to which we are called. Number three, to comprehend the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. You cannot comprehend what it is that God is going to do in every true believer. Oh, if we knew what that person beside us who is in Christ maybe come someday, we would tread with such awe at the fact of what God is going to do. And to those who are truly in Christ, He is going to do it. And number four, we need the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the eyes of our heart enlightened so that we can know Him, so that we can know the hope to which we are called, the riches of His glorious inheritance. And number four, and is verse 19, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Oh, we sell God so far short sometimes. We use words like, "I can't," "It's impossible," "That won't happen," "I'm just human," "Anyone would." And every time we do that, it's because we fail utterly to comprehend the incomparable power. You know, we can understand power. I was watching a movie, the kids, I walked into the house and Jay and Jeremiah were at home and they were watching a movie and there was Arnold Schwarzenegger years ago. 30 years ago. And man, those muscles, and he's, you know, flexing just the right way, you know, to really, he knew what he was doing, and boy. But you know what? That's comparable power. You can quantify that. He can lift that, but he can't lift that. Yeah, he can pick the front end of a car up, but he can't budge a bulldozer. That bulldozer's strong. Yeah, to one of those massive 15-track huge earth movers comes along, and it, well, not that big. See, that's comparable power. But he says, you won't be able to comprehend his incomparably great power. You can't compare it to anything. Well, I've seen. Doesn't matter what you've seen. Well, I've heard. Doesn't matter what you've heard. You have nothing to compare it to. I remember James Dobson's kids got into basketball when they were, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10. And back in those days, I forget who it was, but some basketball star, maybe it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, some of those, one of those old guys, was able to palm a basketball. And they were all, wow, and they were at home trying to do it. You know, their little hands couldn't even come close. And they're like, oh, wow, oh, wow. And James Dobson got sick of them idolizing this person because they could palm a basketball. And so he drove them to the shore of the Pacific Ocean. He had them look out, and then he read that verse, you hold the waters in the palm of your hand. Suddenly that basketball wasn't, ooh, wow, anymore. But you know, you'll never see that unless God gives you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and opens the eyes of your heart. Let me ask you, are you ready to begin to allow God to enlighten you? To really let God stretch you and open the eyes of your heart? To really reveal more than just Daddy? To reveal the way He really is? Are you ready to live not just a smart life, but a wise one? If not, don't worry about it. If you don't want it, God won't give it to you, and everything we're going to talk about in the weeks ahead will go swish right over your head. Oh, but if you want what Paul prayed for them to have, what Paul stopped in the middle of this Holy Spirit-inspired letter to say, wait a minute, folks, I got to tell you what the Holy Spirit's prompting me. You're not going to get this. You're not going to get it. I know you're not going to get it. Let me tell you what it's going to take. I'm praying that you get it. And I'm praying 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 that you get it. I just haven't prayed this once. I didn't sit down. You ever say, you ever promise somebody, oh, I'll pray for you, and then you pray real quick just to make sure you don't forget? He says, I didn't pray one of those prayers. Checked it off my list. Didn't forget that one. He says, I've been praying and praying and praying that you'd get this stuff. Are you ready to begin to try to get what God wants to give us? But what it's going to take a miracle from God to really comprehend? Let's bow together. Lord, here we are 2,000 years later, and we have not gone one step further than the Ephesians had. We can't say, well, you know, they got it, so now they've explained it to us and we understand perfectly. Yeah, 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 old hat, been there, done that. Uh-huh, got the T-shirt. Lord, if you don't give us a spirit of wisdom, this will go right over our head. If you don't reveal it inside of us, it'll mean nothing. If you don't open the eyes of our heart, we will be like a blind man standing an inch from a bus. The reality will be right there, an inch from our face, but we won't see a thing. Oh God, I pray that right now you would begin to do the work that it will take for us to be able to comprehend this. In Jesus' name, amen.